What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Soul Therapy, the podcast. My name is Daniel.
Daytona.
Today, we will be talking about Blase's recent album titled Multraverse. As usual, if you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe to our podcast on all streaming platforms, and don't forget to give us that 5-star rating on Spotify as well. Also, for more contents, please go and follow our socials at soul_therapy, and also please support our page on Ko-fi at ko-fi.com/soultherapy. On June 19, 2022, last month, you know, Blase dropped his one of his highly, you know,
anticipated. I guess
it was anticipated, but it was like one of the more surprising albums, I would say.
Yeah, because like I think people were always like knew his potential. But I don't think they were expecting like album of the year material. But This is one of them. Like, at least I think this is in my top three.
For this year?
Great album.
Would you say this is like your top three album of this year?
Yeah, at least. I mean, I'll have to see how the rest of the year goes and of like course. How I will make up my mind and everything. And like the look, the title is kind of corny. Multraverse, is it?
That was all right. I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But like, and with a title like that, I wasn't really like... Shout out to Blase, by the way. Like, the album is great, so at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But like, title didn't exactly got me hyped.
Uh-huh.
But like, after actually hearing the album, this was like, yeah, this is a kick-ass album. So
yeah, it was dope. This came to us after his first self-titled album, which dropped last year on December, kind of towards the end of December. And in that first album, there was a lot of UK influence. I mean, all of it was pretty much UK influence. And I think in an interview from Hip Hop LE, he was talking about how, like, you know, that first album was not even a drill album. People kind of made it out to be a drill album because of the song Peace Out.
Yeah, he's definitely not like... The reason I like him is because despite having some sort of similarities with UK drill with his performances and everything, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I think there is some sort of emulation that is always be there. But anyway, I thought like he wasn't trying to like blatantly rip off everything.
Yeah.
But I know he didn't say that in the interview, but his first album, to me, sounded a lot more like a learning process to me.
Mm.
Like, trying to find a way to, like, find his pocket and everything.
For sure.
Yeah, so I know, like, he might not say that. A lot of people were saying that. But, you know. But this new album, I think he's really trying to branch out a little.
Yeah.
The way he flows and the way he constructs his rhymes does remind you a lot of UK drill.
It does. I mean, pretty much all the songs are drill songs.
But they're, like, flavored differently, I think.
Yeah.
Like, he has a little bit of hyper-pop here. Mm-hmm. I think he goes over some trap-ish stuff as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is a 14-track album, so, I mean, there's a lot of diversity.
Exactly. And, like, in a kind of sphere where everyone is trying to rip off Pop Smoke or something, I think it's actually kind of fresh to hear grime or like drill focused rapper trying to like ride beats with different kind of source materials.
Yeah.
So props to him. He did an amazing job with his album.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just listening to the whole album again and like, damn, man, it's kind of difficult to pinpoint. I mean, obviously to me, it's not a perfect album, but but for what it is, and knowing that drill sounds can be repetitive and, you know, like you said, there's a lot of flair to it. There's a lot of flavors to it. And I mean, to make a 14 track album that consists of all drill, I thought that was really impressive because regardless or not, I probably would have loved the album anyways. Like, I would have enjoyed it a lot. But the fact that I heard like hyper pop, maybe even like some slow down tempo drill, especially on the on the seventh track,
Yeah, that was
just ridiculous, bro.
That reminded me like of weirdly like 2000s New York stuff, like because like the rhythm patterns and definitely how he's writing it is definitely drill influenced, but like the synth in the background, it sounded a lot like something
Dipset
would do or something.
Yeah, it definitely had like that early 2000 vibes to it, but just mixing in with
stuff.
And then it's mixing it with that
necessarily, but yeah.
Mixing it with that signature drill sounding, you know, like that 808 slides and everything like that. And man, it's just so difficult to just be like, oh, one track was like bad or anything, because man, like, to be honest, man, probably one of my favorite track was the last one, Space Station, which features Chung Seok-hoon.
That was a great track.
Bro, like
the guitarist.
Yeah, I thought that song at the end was going to be kind of like a more of a trap bass, because the song sounded, it started off with a trap sound, and I thought, I was like, oh, okay, this might be the only trap song, but no, like it had like that switch up, you know, and it turned into like a drill sound. And yeah, man, I was surprised to see Chung Seok-hoon on this track, you know. It's like
I was like, what is he doing here, kind of thing. I mean, with all of it, the reason why I like this album so much, because like you said, there are really like kind of moments here, like, and it all panned out. Like it's a great thing if something is totally unexpected but it turns out to be great. Another aspect I really liked about it is because like you said, I don't expect like topical focus from Blase necessarily, because like his last album, like while it was a very solid project, he wasn't really talking about anything. He was just like fucking around on beats. But with this album, like you can see like there are a lot of tracks with a certain topical focus, or at least some sort of like motif,
for sure.
Like this track I, we talked about that, but like I am, it means child, it means kid in Korean. And he kind of wrote the lyrics in the perspective of like trying to remain the kid while still aging. So like he's still adventurous, so he's still experimenting, like he's still like stepping out of the comfort zone and stuff like that was great. And then there's this song with the quiet about retirement, which is kind of weird, because it was really weird, but it was a very introspective moment as well. Because this is a guy who barely, this is his second studio album.
Exactly. And
to have a track that is dedicated about what retirement is very interesting to me. But the thing is, if he, I really like it because he's definitely a chaser, like money chaser. Like what rapper isn't? But like I think like there are lots of like statements and lyrics within these kind of songs.
Yeah.
Where capital isn't everything to him.
Yeah.
Like he literally has a lyric like that. Like it's not, the money is a means to an end to him.
Right.
And it kind of shows. So, because that's the kind of attitude that is kind of missing, I think, these days.
I hear you.
Because look, we are living under capitalism. Obviously, we need to chase the money. But like, sometimes it does feel like it has really become all about the money. Like, and usually that doesn't end that well, both for your art and whatever life whatever.
Right.
So in that sense, it was really nice to hear not a conscious rapper have that kind of introspection, have that kind of maturity already.
Yeah.
And the quiet delivers an amazing presence in the track as well. I really like the guests here. Oh, did you realize in number 9, Hypersonic, he's featuring his like past ego?
Yeah, his alter ego. Yeah.
Yeah, it's because he started out as Blase Kid, right?
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, so I think like this was a very interesting project because he's basically featuring himself, like his like previous identity as an artist.
Yeah.
Because he's Blase now. He used to be Blase Kid back then.
Yeah.
But then he also has a track called Kid in track number 7.
Mm-hmm.
But in but the actual kid is featured in track number 9. So it's like, huh, what does this mean? Like, what is the exact intent here? I don't get it now. Maybe I need a few more listens. But there's very definitely creative. Interesting.
Yeah,
because Hypersonic is the track where it becomes to be a lot brighter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before the jump skit, it was really like hard shit, like hardcore grime stuff. And then after track 8, it becomes more hyper pop ish.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at the title, like Multiverse, right?
Exactly. It's
the multiverse concept is there. So maybe this is like a kind of like a multiverse concept where like there is an alternate universe, like reality of Blase Kid. And
that's dope.
But like, yeah. So it kind of ties it all in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like I said, I thought it was a whack ass title, but now I can see the context of it, and now it's like, huh? I think I really get what he was trying to do here, because it seemed tacky when I first looked at the title, because everyone is about the multiverse. Like, it's I'm not a big fan of the MCU. But like now, after hearing the album over and over, because it's so good, and like you begin to notice the small details in there. It's like maybe this album is not just about bangers. Maybe there is some kind of context to it. Like,
although
this is not
tone.
Exactly, this is not exactly the most like head spinning kind of lyricist kind of album. But he was definitely trying to do something here, and it shows. Yeah, I totally didn't expect this. I just thought it would be like the extension of his first album, just like give me bangers and that'll be it. But like,
yeah,
he really showcased like he's more than just a rapper. Like, I think he's a musician foremost. Mm-hmm. He makes diverse shit. Like, he's incredibly diverse. What's the word?
Versatile.
Thank you. What's wrong with me? The heat's getting to my head.
It's all good, bro.
So, yeah, I really didn't expect this, but this was amazing.
I mean, like, some of the features, man, like, obviously Chung So-kun, but like Kunta, you know, Claire Howe, Hwang Se-eun. I was like,
yeah,
Hwang Se-eun, like on a drill track, like,
yeah,
interesting. That was an interesting move. And there's a track called Squeeze, which features Since Mac Daddy, and how do you say it?
Since killed that. Since dude. Was so hard on it. I really like Shinsane and Mac Daddy, but like Since stole the show.
What was the name? Shinsane?
Yeah, Shinsane.
Dude, he killed it too.
He's the guy who rolls with Sokodomo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
dude, that track was dope. But yes, like you said, Since was like, dude, I'm telling you, bro, if she can make a drill album, bro.
I honestly think it won't be bad. Like, I think she has like the, in Korean it's called damping, but she really has a presence. Like,
you can hear her pronunciation.
It hits so hard. You know what I mean?
It's ridiculous, bro.
Yeah, it just, you know, like her voice tone just bursts through the freaking subwoofer, and like it bursts through the speakers. Like, she's really a hard hitting rapper, and it's really fresh to see, because like every time there was a female rapper and a woman rapper in the scene, people were just saying like, this is another Jackie Y clone, blah blah blah. Uh-huh. Like, Since is like, no, fuck that.
Nah, dude, absolutely not. Like, she's totally the opposite. She's definitely like what I would call it again, an MC. And man, dude, like, you know what was interesting about that song Squeeze? That sample, I don't know, dude, that sample was, it sounded really familiar, but the way he implemented that sample, whether it was from like Splice or it was something else, man, I thought that was really refreshing, because usually with like, how can I say this? When you use samples for a drill track, I feel like you gotta be kind of like a bit more aware, because you can't just lay down like a sample, a loop on like a drill beat, you know, because sometimes like maybe the cadence or kind of like the soundscape sounds a little bit odd or something. But I don't know,
I have like, it is pretty, like, what do you call it? It does feel like a lot of rappers or performers oftentimes make mistakes when getting on drill beats because it is not a tempo they're very accustomed to.
No, it's very different.
Nowadays, it doesn't happen that much because the genre has been hot for a minute now. But back when it was popping, it was like sometimes it almost felt like they didn't know what they were doing on the beat.
Yeah.
And I think it was kind of the same on the producing end as well, because like normally you should chop it on a 4-to-4 basis, but that doesn't happen with drill beats. You have a completely different tempo. So, but I think this album does not have that problem. The only problem I had that is actually the only feature I didn't like is Kunta's.
Really?
Yeah, because he sounded awkward.
But the soundscape of the song had like that.
I mean, his voice tone fits the song and everything. Mm-hmm. But like, I felt maybe you didn't feel it because of language proficiency kind of thing.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, but then I felt like I'm not sure if he's very familiar with this kind of. I would have preferred if he just did a hook on this rather than a verse. Because I don't think, because I like the lyrics to this too. But I just don't think Kunta really wrote the beat that smoothly. It was it sounded a bit awkward to me.
Okay.
His presence was amazing. It's just like this could have been better.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of feel the same. It's like he's not used to these types of beats. You know what I mean? He's more like that reggae, more acoustic blues kind of stuff. And so I definitely hear that, because on one end, it's his first, I would say it's probably his first drill soundscape that he's on. But also I think.
Yeah, I never heard him on a drill beat before.
Exactly. And so, but I do think that reggae, tone, that unique tone that he has, I mean, it does play a factor into the song. But then again, as the overall sound, I hear where you're coming from, because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, oh yeah, that is kind of true, because it is his first time, and sometimes you can pull it off or it just doesn't work. You know what I mean? I didn't really think too much of it. I just thought it was a really interesting feature by bringing in Kunta. And I mean, at the end of the day, I didn't think it was like a train wreck to the point where where the song was like, you know, like a total chaos or anything like that. I just thought it was solid. But then when you brought it up, I kind of had a recall back saying, oh, okay, maybe. I can definitely see where you're coming from. And so,
yeah.
I mean, overall, it was a pretty good track. I mean, for me, the only one
I like the track.
That's what I'm saying.
I like the track.
But for me, I guess the only one I wasn't too big a fan of was Gospel using a Chin. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I can see that. It's not my favorite track either. I mean, I'm kind of sick of the homies. This is not a detriment to the homies. Yeah. It's just like they're everywhere, and I'm like, it's like back in like 2018-17 where Migos and Takeo, like Quavo was everywhere, and it was like
That's the vibe that I got with that track. I was like, Chin, not the biggest fan. I thought Gist was pretty good on it, but overall, I just felt like Chin's kind of voice kind of like overpowered it.
He has like a very like low baritone voice.
I hear you, but I think it's more of just like, you know, when you put like too much seasoning, like you've like overdone it. That's what I kind of felt with Chin. Like it's just like, I just keep hearing Chin's voice over and over, even though he was like mainly kind of on the hook, I think.
Yeah, but he was on the. That's why you heard him over and over, because he was on the hook.
I don't know. It's just.
Yeah.
I guess it's just not my preference, but I'm not saying like they're bad or anything, but they're just not my type of, you know, soundscape. But I mean, it's overall, this was a good one. Like, Oigley, I was like, Oigley? How in the world did Oigley get on this track? Like, I thought that was
Oigley was surprisingly good, actually.
Yeah,
I thought it's like this. Honestly, I thought he would fuck it up instead of Kunta because
really.
Because Oigley is a very boom bap rapper. Like, he's not exactly familiar with drill beats.
But he does a lot of trap beats too. If you look at his EP,
he's done a lot of trap too. But he doesn't like his music to me has been very standard hip hop. It hasn't exactly been drill shit. So I thought it would I can't imagine him doing this, but like he did it amazingly. I think he has a very good understanding of like what kind of tempo, like how you're supposed to write this. Because he sounded amazing.
Yeah, he did. What'd you think about that skit, that jump skit?
I think I liked it. I like it, actually. Because when I was first hearing this album, I was like, what the fuck is this? But now that you like see what he was trying to do, like you kind of understand, like, maybe this is like a parallel universe kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because the whole album, like, if you look at the album art and like you have the album description on iTunes, right?
Yeah.
I listened to Neighbor Vibe. But anyway, on streaming services, there's probably like a description.
Yeah.
And it's about like he basically describes himself as some kind of alien that dropped in Seoul.
Oh, interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, but like maybe it's the thing is if you really listen to the album and like think about the whole multiverse concept of it, maybe it's not an alien, it's more of like a parallel universe kind of situation, but it seems like an alien invasion too. Yeah, you get what I mean, like the MCU crap basically.
Yeah, like Doctor Strange kind of vibe to it.
Yeah the Spider-Man coming home. What was it again? No Way Home.
Yeah
like that kind of shit.
I see. So, that
which is really weird because I think the whole concept of it is pretty tacky.
Yeah,
but okay. If when I no, like not Blase's album, obviously I like this shit. But like because I thought like that was such a I don't like the multiverse concept that much because it seems like very lazy writing to me. It's like killed this guy off, like, and like the rights to Spider-Man is in Sony. What the fuck are we supposed to do? You know what? There's a multiverse, baha, like that kind of thing to me.
Yeah,
it seems like very tacky to me. But like the weird thing is, when I realized what this album was, and like, I actually don't mind hearing it in music form instead of like cinema, because I'm not sure if there is another hip hop album that is like this.
No.
And I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it's just a multiverse concept to me. I think multiverse is just a medium because like, I think there's some sort of nostalgia for his past self in this album.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you feature a past alter ego? You know what I mean?
Good question.
So I think he's trying to make a broader statement about like maturity without changing that much. So like multiverse, not because like it's just the hottest thing to do. I think he used this multiverse concept to try to convey some sort of like fundamental nostalgia or like identity crisis maybe he's having right now. So because like I said, a lot of the times, like Korea, especially Korea, because the market is so small, there's always this pressure on the artist to like sell out basically. I know it sounds corny, like you're gatekeeping shit, but I'm you know what I mean, like there's a really real pressure to like really sell the fuck out. And honestly speaking, with all the shit that he's doing right now and the clout that he's getting, I think he could have done it in a way more blatant manner.
Okay.
Because look, like the guy looks fine as hell, right? The guy looks fine as hell. let's face it, the guy's handsome, right?
I mean, he's freaking tall, bro. He's like what, 6'4"?
Yeah, he's tall. He looks like a freaking model, right?
Yeah.
Like, he could have gone that route easily if he wanted to. But
exactly,
like,
yeah.
I think he's genuine about his music. Like,
no, for sure. If you look at him, the dude's, like, always, like, passionate, bro.
Yeah, so, like, I honestly like really underrated him when he was first on Show Me the Money. Because it seemed like this is just another guy that seemed like, I look like a model, I'll just be a rapper.
Yeah.
Honestly speaking. Uh-huh. I thought he was just another like flyby, but no, like
he's serious,
dude's,
bro.
Dude's real.
Yeah.
I think dude really gives a shit. Props to Blase, amazing album. Very thoughtful album too.
For 14 tracks, bro. That's crazy.
Yeah, and you don't see, and thank God, like, this was not like a 23 track album or whatever. Like,
yeah.
So many people do that. Don't ever fucking do that in the future. Just like a nice 14 tracks, not bad at all.
Yeah.
Obviously, like you said, not the most perfect album.
Oh, of course, yeah.
I seriously think this is one of the best albums of this year.
Wow.
Because what else is there? I mean, there were a lot of good projects this year, but I think this is one of the most solid, like, very well built and sequenced and thought out albums of this year. So,
yeah,
definitely.
I would co-sign that. But you know what's crazy though? Like before, while I was preparing for this podcast, I was thinking about this album in comparison to Bill Stax's Detox in terms of just setting kind of like a foundation. Because you know how Bill Stax Detox was like the first marijuana album focus, and this is like a first kind of like all drill sound.
There are different. I mean, you already have Damn Def, right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of just, like, all the sounds are drill. Like, not one is, like, you know what I mean? Just
actually, I'm a little different on that.
Okay.
I think the purpose, like, the significance of this album is like this. Because you already had, like, all drill music from the Dead Boys compilation and Damn Def stuff. But
oh, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, they are great rappers, too. So, yeah. You already had like a when we talk about like standard drill or grime music, I think Damn Def and Dead Boys Crew were definitely the forerunners of doing that. And they already proved themselves because they made amazing music as well.
Right.
But I think with Blase, I think like he's like showing how far it can go in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole beef in UK about Wiley and Stormzy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Wiley was saying, like, oh, like, Stormzy is selling out.
Yeah.
But if you really think about it, you can't stay, like, the whole movement cannot just be about Wiley, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you need to, like, a certain genre should be able to evolve, right? And I think Multiverse, like, in that kind of context, I think what Multiverse does for Korean grime is that. It's because... All right, so we have a substantial amount of rappers doing like really very well traditional grime.
Yeah.
All right, where do we go from here?
Right.
And I think Blase showed that with this because like I said, the hyperpop influences and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like it didn't exist. I mean, there is some hyperpop shit already, but it wasn't exactly fused with grime music.
True.
But he's doing it here. So, I think this is like the next step forward for Korean grime. I think this is a very good showcase of that. Like, where does grime go from here?
Well, you have
Blase there. At least in the Korean scene, I think this is a step forward.
Yeah, I think also you also have to think about like upcoming artists like NSW Yoon or like, you know, Khan. I think like those guys have like that talent to be kind of, you know, part of that K-drill, K-grime scene along with Blase and Damn
Death. Anticipation is high.
Oh yeah, dude. Like, I know we can't go over this album, but like NSW Yoon's project, like, I think he's got special talent. I just think if he is a bit more concise, you know, with the structuring of like his albums and stuff, I think he could definitely be on the top in terms of just like one of the young artists coming up in kind of like that K drill scene. But I do really feel like this album is gonna set a tone in terms of like I gotta be careful with the words, maybe in the mainstream scene in Korea, because I feel like Damn Death and like Dead Boys, they're more kind of like hybrid, so like in between both mainstream and underground, because like, I mean, Damn Death is not like mainstream, you know what I mean? And so I feel like Blase will kind of...
Damn Death is very underground at this point.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
The hip-hop scene knows Damn Death. Blase has a lot more recognition.
That's what I'm saying. I think for what it does in terms of the mainstream scene, I think Blase's Multraverse will kind of maybe set a tone, set a standard for...
I hope it does. I mean, upping the standard is always a good thing.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, if you had to give me... your five best tracks, what would they be?
The first track, Out the Gate. Like, there's like, it's a very skeletal beat, but he's just going off. Like, yeah. Holy shit, this is all right, I'm in for something here. I liked Bad New 2 with Oigley. That shit was way better than I expected it would be. I thought Oigley would fuck it up. Not because Oigley is a bad rapper, but
yeah,
he did an amazing job. IE, like I said, number 7 track. That was amazing. Retirement with the Quiet.
Yeah.
That was another good one. I mean, that's where I was like, yeah, I think he's a lyricist. Like, he showed a very introspective side to himself. And I'll go with Space Station 2.
Yeah.
I think that really was, like, the perfect outro with the whole, like, instrumentation coming in the back end of it and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So mine would be Man's Talk, Bad New 2, IE, Retirement, and Space Station.
I mean, mine's similar, but I went with Space Station, Retirement, Hypersonic.
That was a great one too.
I went with Squeeze, and then I would say probably Hitman with No Yuna. I thought that was a pretty good one. Yeah,
that was a good one. Every track on this is pretty good.
Oh, yeah. You can't go wrong with any of them.
Yeah, it's great. And all of them are great. So,
yeah. So, I mean, overall, hopefully, you know, this will, you know, set the tone for future, you know, upcoming artists in Korea who are, you know, thinking about going into that drill scene or that drill sound. And, man, I'm really... excited for Blase, you know, his career moving forward. I'm really excited what he's going to bring to the table next. And so, yeah, as we begin to slowly wrap up our show, as usual, any artists or tracks that you're currently listening to and would like to share or recommend to our listeners?
All right.
I know.
Because we just talked about the music we would recommend.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
You know what? Let me get a purely Korean one then.
Okay.
Like, there's no English on this album whatsoever, and I just feel like it. There's a rapper called Iltal.
Never heard of him.
Yeah. He used to rock with a crew called Vitality back in the day.
Okay.
It's a crew that was fronted by Ignito. And he's one of those rappers, like one of those, you know how these, like, there's always these underground rappers that drop one classic album and just fucking disappear for like 30 years. He's one of them. He dropped an album called Naked back in like let me look it up, back in 2010. So this is his first album in 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was a hardcore rapper, like with a little bit of electronic edge to it.
Oh, interesting.
Think LP or like Aesop Rock.
Oh, kind of okay.
Okay.
That's dope.
And he dropped this amazing album called Naked back in the day. Oh, and I think he was a part of Soul Company as well. Anyway.
Oh.
I'm not sure. He was definitely affiliated with them. But anyway, what happened was he was this kind of rapper that would show up on like Soul Company Records features. And he would kill it every time. So naturally, a lot of people were like, when is he dropping his first album? When is he first dropping this album?
Yeah.
And then he dropped the album Naked, which is a very abstract but conscious album.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just disappeared. From what I know, he's in the Netherlands right now.
Oh wow!
Like he immigrated. He's not Korean anymore. From what I know, maybe he's. I think. Wait. I think he's in the States. Actually, I think he's in the States.
Oh, interesting. Now,
yeah, but so he basically retired as a rapper. Like he I think he's just working in. I think he's working in Apple actually.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he's working as a programmer or something. Anyway, but the thing is, what happened was, he just came out of the blue about a few weeks ago. I think a month at this point. And he was just like, I have been working on this album and I'm going to drop it.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And the people were like, huh? Like after 12 years?
Wow.
Yeah. The thing is, like, he worked with a producer called Jazzy Moon. And he has Mild Beats on this as well.
Oh, snap. I love Mild
Beats. Ignito was featured on it. And all of this was put out by Biscuit Sound, which is kind of an underground label here. So it was like, and there's a Prima Vista beat here as well.
Oh, so snap.
It was like, huh. So people were really kind of taken aback. Like, why the fuck is this guy coming out of nowhere after 12 years?
Oh.
And he changed a lot because he, you know how I used to, when I, you know how I said the first album, the Naked album, it's more like the hardcore, like electronic sound. Now this is a complete jazz rap album. It's just straight up jazz.
Oh, I like,
you know,
that.
Like Mellow Music Group, Open Mike Eagle kind of thing, like that kind of new jazz influence.
Oh, that's dope. Like,
yeah, and it was like, huh, this is very new. But it was way better than I expected it would be. Because I thought after 12 years, like, he would just not be able to keep up with shit and stuff like that. But he totally switched up his style, and it works.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like somewhere around rapping and spoken word. But the lyrics are amazing. Dope. The beats are very well curated together. Jazzy Moon and other producers killed it on here. It was a very standard jazz rap album with impeccable lyricism, really. Like, he really touches a lot of topics here. Like, he talks about life under capitalism, which I always love.
There you go.
There's racism issues. There's about smartphone addictions. I think there's one track that alludes to coronavirus as well.
Oh, wow.
Hypocrisy in political spheres and in daily life. It's very philosophical, is what I'm saying. Now, the album is called Chogung in Korean, which means, what's it in English? Getting
adapted.
Adaptation. Adaptation. Yeah. And Iltar in Korean means like a detour. So, so you have this album called, rapper called Iltar putting out a record called Chogung, Adaptation. Uh-huh. My favorite track would be Phones.
Okay.
I think he raps in the perspective of a phone, actually.
Oh.
You know, like...
very interesting.
Is it? Yeah, it is, actually. Like, he talks in the perspective of a smartphone.
That's dope. That's dope.
Yeah. I truly hope, like, there's some sort of translation for this, actually.
Yeah.
He has a very free-forming flow here. Unlike the first album, which is like just straight up hip-hop.
Yeah.
Like very technical. Like this one, he's very free-flowing, like Freestyle Fellowship kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very interesting listen. Actually, this is the album that will best Multiverse. It's either this or Multiverse for me. So.
Oh, snap.
It's a completely different album with completely different approaches to music, but if you already know Korean, it will be a very interesting listen.
Yeah.
If you don't know Korean, just go over there for the vibes. It's a good album.
Exactly.
Check it out.
Yeah, I'm really excited because you mentioned jazz and stuff. So for me, man, this was really unexpected. This is the Deja Vu and VMC collab album with Freddie Caso and Diesel.
Yeah.
Called Second to None. My goodness, bro. Yeah. This is just, what the heck? This was straight up a blindside. Like,
this is a very Griselda-ish album.
That's what I was gonna say, bro. This was straight up, a mixture of like West Side Gun sound, like Benny the Butcher, like Freddie Gibbs type stuff, and this was just, you know what? You know what's crazy? I'm beginning to think that Freddie Casso is like our version of The Alchemist.
I think they actually did. I think there was an interview. I'm not sure. Maybe there wasn't. So there's this, what's happening right now is like there's this whole new wave for my, for our international fans that are not exactly familiar. Based in New York right now, there is an entire new movement called, all right, anyway, there's this collective called Griselda Records, and what they're basically doing is making drumless hip hop.
There you go, drumless hip hop.
Yeah, so basically what they do is put together old soul records, old R&B records, loop them up, and give it a very woozy, dark feel to it.
Yeah.
Like minimize the drums.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a different take on 90s hip-hop.
Yeah.
But like, so it creates this very dark atmosphere.
Yeah.
With a lot of emphasis on the skill of the rapper. Because there's no drum, it is up to the rapper to really liven shit up.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, I think this is beginning to kind of manifest in Korea as well.
Yeah.
A lot of rappers are picking this style up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the forefront producers of this is like people like The Alchemist, Davinger, and stuff like that. And like you said, Daniel, like I can hear a lot of Alchemist influence on this album.
That's what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah, Quarantino is just, whatever.
Bro, that's the pick I was going to, that's the song I was going to pick, Quarantino.
Yeah, Quarantino, that's just like a straight up Alchemist, like homage almost.
You know what that song sound reminded me of? You know, Freddie Gibbs and The Alchemist.
Alfredo.
1985, that electronic.
Yeah, that's
that, Dude,
that
I
electric
heard this
guitar sample.
Yeah. Holy cow, bro. Diesel just, he ripped this album apart, bro.
This
was a dope album.
This is a very interesting period, actually, because if you think about Griselda music, like it's very focused on cocaine, right?
Yeah.
It's drug raps.
Yeah.
All of it.
Essentially.
All of it is about dealing drugs. The subject matter is just cocaine everywhere.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, that didn't happen in Korea, right?
Yeah, of course.
So, like, the substance, like, the way they approach their beats and the way they approach song structure is very similar, but the content they're rapping about is completely different.
Yeah.
What's happening in Korea is they use these kind of sample loops to talk about, it's just basically talking shit on records. It sounds like, the lyrical content of it sounds more like just rap battling and, like, like a New York park or something.
Yeah.
It's not about drug raps at all. It's about like very straightforward metaphors and shit like that.
Yeah.
So it feels very different when you're listening to it. So it's like, huh, this is interesting. Like they got the Griselda format, but like they're rapping about it, something just that are just completely fucking different.
Yeah, this album is just off the top, just goes from 0 to 100 in like seconds. It's just a great album. I mean, I could have picked other songs with like Deep Flow or like Son Simba or JJK was surprising to me on the album. But Quarantino is definitely probably the one that stood out to me the most just because I can automatically tell that it was like an Alchemist beat and I can really hear the influences from of The Alchemist by Freddie Casso, and I think Freddie Casso is going to be one of those artists who is going to be like an Alchemist or Derringer who does a lot of those drumless sequences and stuff, and he's been doing those types of beats anyways. And so for those who listen to more kind of like the mainstream, I highly recommend checking out this album. It's called Second to None, and the song title I chose is Quarantino with Freddie Casso and Diesel. So yeah, that's all the time we have for today, but please do comment and let us know what you thought of Blase's Multiverse. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please go and subscribe to our podcast on all platforms and please give us that 5-star rating. If you want more K-hip-hop contents, go check out Daytona's Instagram at myk_Daytona for K-hip-hop album reviews and also follow our social media page at soul_therapy. Thank you guys so much and see you guys next time. Peace.
Peace.